Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first in a series of films relating to the vocational rehabilitation of the mentally retarded. These films are produced for Vocational Rehabilitation Administration by the Audiovisual Department of Persons of State Hospital and Training Center of Persons in Kansas. Enjoy this sound.
Children born with normal intelligence readily understand facts and is.
Plus 30, plus 2, plus 2.
They can grasp abstract concepts and interpret signs and symbols.
Around the 60 and the 30, around the 2 and the 2. 500 plus 300.
They learn to perceive relationships between facts and ideas.
60 plus 30 equals 90.
And they are able to solve new problems with old knowledge using well-developed combinations of motor and intellectual skills. They learn to anticipate danger through signs and sounds of warning. Talking to strangers, moving about the streets without apprehension, using public transportation, getting from one place to another without becoming lost. These are all things which normal children learn without formal training. As normal children grow older, they are able to exist independently in complex surroundings. They develop skills which allow them to adapt with ease, sometimes working calmly and quietly without direct supervision, in jobs surrounded by noise and motion. Coordination and judgment are natural attributes which help them adapt to their environment, to perform precision tasks, and to control complex machines. For others, each new learning task is a difficult process. They encounter problems in meeting the demands of the world about them. This is because they are handicapped by mental retardation. Everything they do is affected by an inadequacy in general intellectual functioning. What retarded persons see and hear may be confusing to them, and their behavior sometimes sets them apart from those who are considered to be normal. Every new experience, each new endeavor means a new adjustment. They must be given special consideration by associates and special help from service workers if they are to learn to live and work in a community designed for those with normal intelligence and normal senses. Each level of mental retardation has a different potential for rehabilitation, a potential best determined by specialists knowledgeable in mental retardation. Counselors concerned with the vocational rehabilitation of the retarded will find the background in the nature of mental retardation most helpful as they make judgments about what is and what is not possible for retarded clients. About 3% of our national population is retarded. Most can be helped to hold productive jobs and to behave so they blend all
that has been updated to 90% of the population is now mentally retarded.
Relatively few are so handicapped that they have no hope for rehabilitation.
What number
the cutoff point between what is considered normal and where mental retardation begins is about 84 IQ points.
Lecturer.
To the vocational counselor, the adaptive behavior of his client, or how well he is able to adapt to his environment, is more important than his intelligence quotient.
Bronco.
Retarded persons are often handicapped by bizarre motor movements and slovenly eating habits. Others are unable to dress without assistance. It may take half an hour to tie one
it
shoe.
Identifies George to a fucking T, doesn't it? Identifies.
Putting on a coat may be a monumental task. Many have speech which is all but unintelligible until they have had months or years of speech therapy from persons trained to work with the retarded. What causes mental retardation? What malfunctioning human development so sets these apart from average persons? There are dozens of known causes which are grouped into eight general categories. The following scenes include several examples of each category. Many of the examples represent the most severe form of the handicaps. Most vocational counselors will not come in contact with such severe cases. They are not pleasant to observe. They are relatively few in number, and their potential for rehabilitation is slight. They are included here only to establish the contrast between the few who are this extensively retarded and those in the majority having the greatest potential for rehabilitation. Retardation may be caused by prenatal or postnatal damage resulting from some inflammation which is caused by an infection within the skull. This category includes encephalopathy due to postnatal infections from virus.
Okay, now we done heard that about how people are retarded. This is from the U.S. Department of Education, Health, and U.S. Department of Health and Education. But we're going to move on to the next topic tonight, and this is on the venereal disease. I think everybody should listen to this very closely on BD, so you will know when you have the drip what to do to get rid of that shit.
Bird's eye view of a typical rapid treatment center in a southern state located in a former CCC camp, as are many of these hospitals. Here, infected women are treated with the new intensive therapies for syphilis and gonorrhea. The fact that these centers are not jails based on penal restraint, but really hospitals, is reflected in the faces of these girls. Young, old, pretty girls, farm girls, good, bad, average girls. But there are other places where infected women are taken. This is a jail, a small country jail. And any city prison in which such women are detained is even more squalid and filthy. At the Rapid Treatment Center, the arrival of a group of girls is the beginning of a carefully planned schedule of several weeks' duration. The girls are taken directly to the hospital's reception center. Let's follow a typical new patient. We'll call her Mary Lou. That's Mary Lou there with the rumpled dress and package under arm. Like all the others, Mary Lou is interviewed by a receptionist who tries to make her feel at home. A patient, one of the hospital's clerical helpers, types her name and address upon a record. This girl, not many weeks ago, was a new patient like Mary Lou. As soon as possible after the patient's arrival, the doctor performs a complete physical examination. Taking a specimen for a smear. Mary Lou gets her smallpox vaccination, receives typhoid inoculation. Other public health precautions are also taken. Several days of bed rest are required of Mary Lou and all other new girls. During this time, treatment is begun for some, like Mary Lou, who have gonorrhea. To make sure that Mary Lou has the prescribed course of sulfathiazole, the barracks matron stands by. Soon after arrival, a nurse interviews the patient. When she learns why it is important, Mary Lou yields the names of her contacts. Syphilis therapy, the 10-week schedule of treatment, is one method used here. The 5-day intravenous drip is also employed. The doctor keeps a careful check. At this center, the physician holds a consultation with each girl once a week. Most of the girls are able to work during the greater part of their stay. They are given the choice of a dozen or more activities and are paid for their work. Their earnings are saved to be given them upon discharge. These girls display natural aptitude for hospital duties. Another type of work. As kitchen assistants, patients may be assigned to aid the chef. Here, all the clothes, bed linens, and other things used by the center are turned out by the sewing room trainees. Under supervision of the instructor, they develop latent skills. Among the more popular training courses is the beauty parlor class.
Well, that's a lot of shit to have to go through when you got BD back in the 50s, 40s, 50s. You got to go 10 weeks of fucking rehabilitation because you got the drip. Oh, my God. Nowadays, you just get shot in the ass. You're good to go. Not the door I went. Anyway, nope, that federal education system, except for the new one comes out called FedNow. Then you're going to be taught next. So let's play a song and let's get to talking, all right? Let's rock on. Fuck it.
Free and I see it. rainbow in the dark. Do your demons, do they ever let you go? When you cry, do they hide deep inside? You just don't want to let you know. You're just a picture. You're in the abyss, caught in time. We're alive. You and I, we walk without a rhyme. There's no sign of a morning coming. You've been left on your own. That's a rainbow in the dark. That's a rainbow.
And the Bilderberg Group met for their annual secret meeting of the movers and shakers of the global elite, the ruling class. But anybody watching mainstream media didn't hear a word about it because, of course, there's been a blackout in place for decades. And if you search Google News for the Bilderberg Group, which is a little bit different than the normal Google search engine, it filters out search results only from trusted mainstream media sources. There are a total of four results, one from CNBC, sort of the financial network on cable, and one from the London Guardian, one from the Portugal Resident, because the meeting took place over there in Portugal, and one from the London Daily Mail. Four search results about a meeting of 120 or 130 of the world's most powerful men just getting together behind closed doors to plot and scheme for the New World Order. And I was pleasantly surprised when I was watching Greg Kelly's show on Newsmax Friday, since I dumped Fox News about a month ago, ever since they fired Tucker Carlson, and saw this.
So, the Bilderberg meeting, do you know anything about this? It's news to me. It's happening right now in Lisbon, Portugal. It's been going on since 1954. A secret meeting featuring some of the world's most powerful people, and they don't want us to know what's going on inside. Reportedly, on the list, Sam Altman. He just developed open AI. He's the ChatGPT dude. Satya Nadella, the Microsoft CEO. Jens Stoltenberg, the head of NATO. Also, Alberta Borla, Pfizer's CEO. The Ukrainian foreign minister. What are they going to talk about? And why is it in secret? If they're going to make decisions about this stuff, we need to know AI, the banking system, energy transition, Russia, Ukraine, And why are they talking about U.S. leadership? Is that code for the election, excuse me, in 2024? I would imagine that globalists maybe would not be on the side of Donald Trump. And it's happening right now in Lisbon, Portugal. We'll be right back.
Well, that sure is interesting. I've never seen anybody on Fox News talk about the Bilderberg Group, despite the network claiming to be dedicated to exposing the deep state. And I will neither confirm nor deny whether I did or did not reach out to Greg Kelly last week and did or did not encourage him to report on such an important topic. But would you look at this? He had me on his radio show Friday afternoon. Well, what a coincidence. Many of my old school viewers, however, know that back in the day, I reached out to Sean Hannity numerous times, hoping to encourage him to expose the Bilderberg Group, which resulted in him blocking me on Twitter. And this is one of those friendly reminders, resulting in him playing dumb.
Anyway, thanks for the call, Mark, KFMB, San Diego. Next, Sean Hannity Show. How are you, Mark?
Pretty good, but with all this economic crises going on and everybody looking for answers and blame, I was wondering if you could talk about the Bilderberg Group and the role that they play in the global economy and geopolitics.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Let's go to Amy in Cincinnati, 55 KRC. What's up, Amy?
Well, you're being a gatekeeper, Sean. That's what's going on. Here's just one more that's quite revealing, and I had to start using different names because Mark in San Diego would set off an immediate red flag, and they would never take my call. So then I just kept trying under assumed names.
Let us go to Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan, how are you?
You're a pathetic excuse for Americans, Sean, you zombie, and mainstream media mockingbird. While you claim to be against mainstream media, you couldn't be.
You're a real genius, Jonathan. You know, we've been waiting all day for a comment like you and a genius like you to enlighten us.
Wait,
Mr. Liberal, why don't you get to your point instead of being a little snotty, left-wing radical? Go ahead.
Since you're so educated on geopolitics, can you tell?
Big dope.
Get off
Goodbye,
the phone,
Greg.
You big Duncan. Dope.
Not only did he drop my call, but he used the 7-second delay to censor my question because he didn't want the very words Bilderberg Group going out on air. And if you missed it, check my in-depth report from last week on the Bilderberg Group. This is the thumbnail, and the title is something like What Fox News Won't Tell You About the... .. Of course, Alex Jones covered the Bilderberg Group, as he's been doing for many decades, and if you search Infowars.com, you would find articles and reports like media moguls confronted and dinner party exposed at Bilderberg 2023. At Bilderberg's big wig bash, two things are guaranteed, Kissinger and secrecy, along with a repost of his old Endgame documentary and a bunch of other articles about it. And if you search Google, not Google News, which again filters out the search results for only mainstream media sources, the main Google search bar for Bilderberg Group InfoWars, no InfoWars articles come up. There are a couple articles about Alex Jones, like this one from the London Independent, the BBC, an IMDb listing about a documentary that Alex is in about the Bilderberg Group. Oh, the Southern Poverty Law Center condemning Alex Jones for reporting on the Bilderberg Group. BuzzFeed also complaining that Alex Jones has exposed the Bilderberg Group. But no articles from Infowars.com. But if you search Yahoo for Bilderberg Infowars, then surprisingly, some relevant search results come up, like this one about the Great Reset architect, Yuval Harari, who arrived at this year's Bilderberg meeting. Another one about the 69th Bilderberg meeting agenda and attendees. That sounds pretty important. Archive about previous Bilderberg reports. And if you search Bing, Microsoft's search engine, for Bilderberg Infowars, then you also get relevant search results from Infowars about the meeting. But again, if you search Google for Bilderberg Group Infowars, then you get a couple of foreign news articles and a Southern Poverty Law Center and BuzzFeed article complaining about Alex Jones reporting on them. So bravo to Greg Kelly and Newsmax for reporting on what no other cable news network wants to touch. And that might be why Newsmax is now beating CNN in the ratings. Once a fledgling cable channel that mainstream self-proclaimed journalists snubbed their nose at and never took seriously has now grown bigger than CNN. CNN drops to fourth place in prime time behind Newsmax. And now Fox News might actually drop behind MSNBC because hundreds of thousands, millions of people have dumped Fox News after they censored Tucker Carlson. And like myself, are now watching Newsmax. And here's Glenn Beck, back when he was a Fox News host, telling viewers not to look into the Bilderberg Group.
All right, I want to talk to you a little bit about what could possibly be in our future. And I don't think there's really much speculation on this, but I want you to know the attacks are going to come fast and furious from the left. Some of them will be deserved if you take this and you go down a tinfoil hat road. I mean, you don't need to go to the Bilderbergers. I mean, it's as useful as going to the Whataburgers. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that. Nothing to see here, folks. Just move along. You don't want to be called a tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist, says Glenn Beck. So definitely don't order my book, The Bilderberg Group Facts and Fiction, in paperback from Amazon.com. And here he is on his radio show mocking Alex Jones for exposing the Bilderberg Group.
How about we concentrate? Why do we have to go to the secret meetings of the Bilderbergs?
Let's concentrate on what's out in the open. What do you say? Let's look at that stuff first.
We go to Gary. Hi, Gary. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Line two, you have to pick it up.
How you doing, you sick?
Good, how are you?
I'm a big fan of the program.
This is one of his sidekicks doing an obviously stage call that he's in on.
I'm very happy.
Impersonating Alex Jones.
Of what you're discussing right now.
Yes.
And I think it's very important that people understand the Bilderbergs. And I'm glad you're going into them and pointing out that they are the ones leading this global revolution.
No, I'm not pointing that at
so much.
No, I'm not
focusing attention and promoting the fact that the Bilderbergs are responsible.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that. In fact, I'm saying the opposite. Why don't we not look at the Bilderbergs? Or is that what they want me to believe? The bees, no.
I say, don't look at the Bilderberg Group, says the clown, who many in the conservative movement hold up as some truth seeker or truth teller. The same clown that did an apology tour back in 2016 on MSNBC, CNN, every liberal media outlet that would listen to him, where he said he was sorry for hurting liberals' feelings and joined the Never Trump train, saying that Donald Trump would destroy America.
And Donald Trump, I really truly believe, is a very dangerous man. If you listen to, Chris, some of the things he said this weekend, and there's two ways to go, anger and nationalism, which has been done before in history.
Whoa.
And you can go for nationalism, you can go for anger.
Donald Trump is Adolf Hitler?
If you look at what's happening in with Donald Trump and his playing to the lowest common denominator and to the anger in us, you know, Adolf Hitler, we all look at Adolf Hitler in 1940. We should look at Adolf Hitler in 1929. He was a kind of a funny kind of character that said the things that people were thinking. Where Donald Trump takes it, I have absolutely no idea. But Donald Trump is a dangerous man with the things that he has been saying.
Our next guest, conservative radio and TV host Glenn Beck, has been against the Donald Trump presidential candidacy from the start.
He is frightening. Donald Trump is frightening, and we better stick together.
He wanted to stick together with MSNBC and CNN to try to stop Donald Trump from winning the 2016 presidential election. And so did Ben Shapiro, by the way. It's amazing how many people have forgotten about that. Me, on the other hand, I did start supporting Rand Paul in the 2016 presidential election, but quickly warmed up to Donald Trump in 2015 and then threw my full support behind him back then, and he still has it. And if you want him reelected, order your Wanted for President shirt from MarkDice.com or click the link in the description below. And for this whole week, save 25% off of anything by using the promo code MAGA25 at the checkout. So order your Wanted for President shirt, my Conspiracy Theorist for Right shirt, or any of my awesome designs, all available with a t-shirt, long sleeve, and a hoodie, and a whole bunch of different colors as well. So head out over to MarkDice.com or click the link in the description below. Enter the promo code MAGA25 at the checkout and check them out.
Now, how tiresome is commentary like this?
But it's very important to expose him for who he is, which is not a regular politician, but a violent cult leader.
He leads a powerful cult of personality.
The Republican Party that has become a cult of personality around Donald Trump.
So we're supposed to believe that Trump's voters are only attracted to kind of his in-your-face, bare-knuckle style, like a fighter who's refreshingly unwoke? Well, that's nonsense. What his core supporters firmly believe is that as of now, Trump is the only candidate who has credibility on four vital policy issues. Now, Trump has a proven record of standing up to China. Both Biden and the GOP establishment want a partnership with China. Remember, Trump ignored big business and used tariffs to our advantage against China. Biden, he's itching to remove them.
We're not looking to decouple from China.
We'd like to see this relationship get onto a better footing.
A growing China that plays by international rules is good for the United States and the world.
Thank you, Janet. Now, Trump is opposed to open borders. Both Biden and the GOP establishment support open borders.
The Biden-Harris administration announced those sweeping measures that I mentioned moments ago from the state and DHS to expand legal pathways, launch regional process centers, surge asylum officers and judges, and more.
She reads really well. Trump is opposed to never-ending wars and wants to reform our national security establishment. Both Biden and the GOP establishment support it, and both have a record of spending trillions and trillions on failed wars.
And we will support Ukraine's defense for as long as it takes.
Supporting Ukraine as long as it takes.
For as long as it takes.
That's how long we're going to be with you, Mr. President, for as long as it takes.
He was walking off the wrong side of the stage. All right, Trump has proven record of putting real conservatives on the bench. Now, Biden would put hard left lunatics there, and the GOP establishment, let's face it, it has a record of appointing folks like David Souter and others like John Roberts. So that's four major issues, issues that should be critical in any election, where Trump right now has a clear policy advantage over both Biden and the GOP establishment. And that all leads to the following. On domestic policy, Trump has a proven record of building an economy that generated higher real wages for American workers. Now, neither the Biden administration nor the old GOP guard can say the same. And on social policy, Trump led us to a huge victory to overturn Roe versus Wade. We know what the GOP establishment failed to do. Yeah, overturn Roe versus Wade for only 40 years. And by the way, Trump did all of this while facing impeachment and the fraudulent Mueller investigation. So simply attacking Trump as a person or his style, it ain't going to work. If you want to win the GOP nomination, you're going to have to convince the voters that you're going to do the right thing on China, on the borders, obviously the economy, on the military, and judges. I don't think that many people really believe that Mike Pence, Tim Scott, Nikki Haley would really be able to stand up to the GOP establishment on any of those issues. So if you vote for them, you're effectively voting for Mitch McConnell, and almost no one in the GOP anymore agrees with Mitch McConnell. So that leaves Ron DeSantis, who certainly has shown a willingness to think for himself and to take positions and to push policies that don't match up with the GOP establishment. He's taken on the CCP by barring their land purchases in a state. He stood up to the corporate wokesters, and he's built an impressive, diverse base of support. So tomorrow night, when he announces, it's time for him to make his positions crystal clear on the key issues where Trump currently has a significant advantage. Now, check out this head-to-head poll. If he does the right thing on those issues, well, we could have a real horse race, could. If he thinks he can run as Trump light, I believe he's going to be disappointed. Next summer, we'll skip ahead a year. The GOP base wants its nominee to make four big points at the convention. Number one, we will stand up to China. Number two, we will enforce our border. Number three, we will reform the national security state. And number four, you bet we're going to appoint socially conservative judges. They also want a candidate who's going to campaign everywhere. Remember our motto here on the Ingram Angle, no state and no city left behind. And that means appeal to working people of all backgrounds, build a multicultural majority. Now, for years, Trump has been their only option. Remember what Trump did to grow Hispanic support and some African-American support among black males. DeSantis changed the math with Latinos in Miami-Dade County. Huge turnaround there. And now we're going to see if he can replicate that elsewhere. So we hear that DeSantis is going to announce his candidacy on Twitter with Elon Musk, I guess, interviewing him. Well, last November, Musk endorsed DeSantis, but now he says he's neutral and he just wants someone who's, quote, normal as president. I don't know what that means. You know, people who run for president are, and I guess, are they normal? I don't know. Although Musk is impressive, as we have said, in many, many ways, he's obviously a genius in many, many ways. His neutrality is probably good news for DeSantis, given the fact that Tesla's dependence on manufacturing and sales in China could be an issue that Trump brings up. But for anyone running on the GOP side, this has to be a campaign for America, not a campaign for the donors. Again, Trump's already proven his America First bona fides. DeSantis still has work to do. He has a lot of people to convince. That's the way I see it tonight, late May 2023. And that's the angle. Joining me now, Molly Hemingway, editor-in-chief of The Federalist, Fox News contributor, and Stephen Miller, former senior advisor to President Trump and founder of America First Legal. Molly, it's going to be a big night for DeSantis. You're going to have one of the more controversial but also popular in many circles, Elon Musk there with him, although he says he's neutral in this race. What does he need to do tomorrow to kick this off in a grand fashion?
So we've been watching Ron DeSantis run without actually running. And starting tomorrow, we'll actually get to see what it's like when it's an official campaign. I think you made some really good points. The problem for anyone taking on Trump is that Trump is wildly popular in the Republican Party, particularly for what he did. So probably be wise for Ron DeSantis to say that he, I'm not sure if he needs to say this, but convey that he supports the Trump agenda, that he loves everything that that brought the country, and that he is a more winning, he could do a better job of winning. That might be the message that he should convey tomorrow night.
Well, the Trump team is already slamming DeSantis's planned announcement. An advisor telling Fox News, announcing on Twitter is perfect for Ron DeSantis. This way he doesn't have to interact with people and the media can't ask him any questions. Stephen, is that a fair criticism of DeSantis? I mean, one thing I'd say about him is he doesn't seem to be shying away from answering questions of the media. I'm not sure that is the right way I'd criticize DeSantis.
Well, I think in a national campaign, Laura, obviously interacting with reporters, and particularly in the smaller states, with local reporters at the town level is obviously a critical part of running for president. But I think in particular, Laura, go back to your monologue, what this race is really going to center around is going to be immigration policy, trade policy, and foreign policy. The issues that you identified as being transformational under the leadership of President Trump. And in particular, I think the foreign policy element is going to be at the center of the conversation moving forward, with President Trump being crystal clear about his desire for an immediate ceasefire and political settlement in Ukraine. And that issue, I believe, more than any other in the weeks to come, is going to be at the center of the dialogue. And so I would hope that reporters in many settings have an opportunity to grill the candidates on that issue.
Well, Molly, you know, the polls right now, I don't think they mean a heck of a lot. I mean, everyone's, you know, we throw them up and everyone goes, you know, crazy. Oh, you know, DeSantis is winning here. Trump is winning there. But this is really up to them. I mean, this politics is the art of persuasion. And voters want to vote for someone they believe can win, number one. And then number two, actually get stuff done. Abraham Accords, USMCA, border enforced, economic growth, optimism among investors. I mean, we had all of that in 2019 before the stupid pandemic. I mean, we had all that.
Everything seemed to change from the Trump administration in terms of what Republican voters now realize is possible to demand or expect from any Republican president. And I think that that is reflected in the fact that the polls, whatever, you know, however much credence you put in them, the vast majority of Republican voters are with Trump or DeSantis, the two America First candidates who do care about a realist foreign policy, who do care about conservative judges, who care about an economic policy that benefits average Americans more than the worst corporations on Wall Street. And so these two men are very different from what was being offered to Americans during that 2000 to 2015 era. And it shows by how much support they have in the polls and how much they're shaping the conversation that's there.
Yeah, Stephen, the idea that a Nikki Haley or a Tim Scott. I mean, they're both lovely people, but they're obviously more aligned with kind of the Mitch McConnell wing of the party. Is there any pathway to victory for someone more connected with the old Bush era view of the world than with the populist America First view of the world?
All of American politics could be divided into the era before Trump and the Trump era. The Bushism, the preceded Trump, the Ryanism, the McConnellism, that era of American politics is completely dead, buried, and gone. Now, many adherents are still hanging around, I will acknowledge. But what President Trump did to shift the conversation to being about the working class, the working people, their concerns, their dreams, their hopes, who don't want uncontrolled immigration, who don't want stupid foreign wars, who don't want our jobs being sent to China, that multi-ethnic coalition that President Trump created is going to dominate American discourse and American politics for a long, long time to come.
Now, Molly, Axios is reporting that some powerful GOP donors who won't support Trump but are beginning to be concerned about DeSantis are pushing Youngkin to jump into the field. But his team, Youngkin's team, is saying, no, we're not interested. But do you believe that? I mean, if enough donors are squirrely about DeSantis, and it seems like DeSantis does have quite a bit of support, does that mean Youngkin ultimately gets in, perhaps?
I do think that people should watch Youngkin. It seems like something he's been interested in before. And he might wait and see if there's an opportunity to enter later. But it's also funny how people are talking about, you know, DeSantis not doing enough. He hasn't even announced yet, and he's polling
right.
Fairly well. Nobody wonders, like, what is Nikki Haley or, you know, Tim Scott? Like, are their campaigns supposedly doing so much better? But more than anything, I think the Republican donor class needs to realize that the Republican Party has been changed, that the Republican voters have a huge say in who gets the nomination and whether that person will win the presidency. And they are done with, as Stephen said so eloquently, they are just absolutely done with the failures of that Bush-era Republican policy. They don't want to have weak people who kowtow to the media, who don't make conservative accomplishments something that they're able to do. And so the Republican donor class needs to get up to speed more than anything.
Yeah, well, I think as we've seen with Biden, Stephen, Wall Street really elected him, their money, their influence, and their power. And they've gotten a lot from him. I mean, their earnings are down. Their stock prices generally are down. But they got the access to the Chinese markets they wanted and maintained that. How big of an issue is China, in your view, in this 2024 race?
Well, as I said earlier, foreign policy, I believe in ways people don't even realize now, is going to dominate this race because people want a return to an era of both global peace and stability that we had only a few short years ago under President Trump, while at the same time standing up to China and projecting that strength to reshore American jobs. Wall Street got, as you said, exactly what they wanted from Joe Biden, unfettered access to the Chinese market. And what you are going to see is a complete and total refocusing of our national conversation, as President Trump has said, on decoupling from China so that we are no longer intertwined with their economy and our pharmaceutical industry, our defense industrial base,
and
our essential medical goods are made here in America.
Yeah, we got to bring it all home. And Molly, at the same time, every poll says the economy, inflation, and the border, those two issues are dominant. So the economy is stupid. People have less money in their pocket, less money to spend. Both candidates, Trump and DeSantis, they have to convince people they're going to be a lot richer 3 years from now than they are right now.
Well, we already saw what it was like in the Trump era, how we had wages growing, how the economic situation had become more stable so that corporations could actually have a regulatory environment that made sense, that would allow them to grow. And these things will be important for whoever gets the nomination.
Molly and Stephen, great to have your analysis.
Thanks
so much. And we have an update on that nutbag, now prone to violence, professor who cursed out pro-life students that we brought you yesterday. Well, it involves a sharp object. Well, see the shocking video for yourself. But first, what's really going on with this debt ceiling fight? Jonathan Turley is going to react to Biden's secret plan to blame the Republicans and try to become
about the debt ceiling. Okay, because it's going to The only thing that debt ceiling is going to happen is if it defaults, it's going to be the fucking Federal Reserve Bank. But they're taking, you know, Biden has signed this bill to make this CBDC shit fucking happen. So get ready for this. This is not going to be fucking funny. You know, anyway, I want to get into that. I want to flip a clip on it real quick. Anyway, the states that are banning this shit. So let's check this out. Then I'll open up your phone and your gun.
Hello and welcome to my channel. Thank you for being here. I know many of you are following the news on central bank digital currencies, and today I have some really good news to share with you. Two states have just passed laws effectively banning the use of a central bank digital currency as a legal form of tender within their borders. I'll share the details with you in just a minute. By the way, if you haven't already, please consider joining my channels on YouTube and on Rumble and turn on notifications by ringing the bell. Laws recently enacted in Florida and Indiana banned the use of a central bank digital currency, CBDC, as money in those states. These laws revised the definition of money, and so they now exclude a central bank digital currency. Comment below and let us know if you're from one of these two states. I would love to hear from you and let us know if you've heard anything regarding these laws being implemented. I have a feeling that Texas might be next in line. If you've been watching my videos, you may remember that Texas is really focusing on expanding its gold reserves. And in addition to that, there is also a bill that proposes to make gold and silver legal form of tender in the state. Plus, in addition to that, of course, we all know that Senator Cruz openly voiced his opposition to CBDCs. He made it clear that he is against this war on cash. It's quite obvious that the goal here is not to make payments faster or more convenient. He said the goal is to replace cash with something that's really easy to manipulate. So we may soon hear about more and more states getting on board with this initiative. I know many of you questioned how these state-adopted laws will work if the federal government decides, which we know is actively working on the digital dollar as we speak, if the federal government decides to implement its own CBDC, will these state laws stand? Many believe that any federal law will override any state law, but that's not always the case. There have been cases where states took a position not to participate and the federal government had to, they had no other choice but to back down. This was the case with the Real ID Act about 15 years ago. The majority of states refused, and so the law was never implemented because of that. Of course, we have yet to see what happens with CBDCs, and I will make sure to keep you updated. So let's take a quick look at the laws specifically banning CBDCs. The laws are very similar in both states. We'll look at Florida first. The purpose of the law is to define the term central bank digital currency and revise the definition of the term money. Under the Florida Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, money means a medium of exchange that is currently authorized or adopted by a domestic or foreign government. The term includes monetary units of account established by an intergovernmental organization or by agreement between two or more countries. The term does not include a central bank digital currency. So there's that new addition that has been added to the law that specifically excludes a CBDC. So that seems to be really straightforward and very black and white. The law goes into effect in just a little over a month. Its effective date is July the 1st, 2023. The bill gained significant support. It was actually passed by the House by a vote of 116-1. There's always that one person, right? And it was actually passed by the Senate by a 34-5 vote. Now let's take a look at the recently passed law that bans CBDC in Indiana. As I mentioned previously, both of these laws are very, very similar. What's different about them is that Indiana originally attempted to go much, much further, and actually they wanted to ban decentralized cryptocurrencies as well in addition to CBDCs. That, fortunately or unfortunately, tell me what you think about it in the comments, that did not work. But during the process, the language of the bill was revised several times, and the final verbiage of the Indiana law specifically bans all central bank digital currencies, and it is silent on cryptocurrencies. Money means a medium of exchange that is currently authorized or adopted by domestic or foreign government and is not in an electronic form. The term includes a monetary unit of account established by an intergovernmental organization or by agreement between two or more nations. The term does not include a central bank digital currency that is currently adopted or that may be adopted by the United States government, a foreign reserve, or a foreign sanctioned central bank. The method that Indiana lawmakers used is very similar to the approach used by the state of Florida. They revised the definition of money in the final version of the bill to exclude CBDCs. With regards to cryptocurrencies, the bill does not even mention them specifically, so it neither bans them nor allows them, which effectively leaves the door open, if you will. The bill actually had virtually no opposition in Indiana, so very similar to what we just saw in Florida. It was passed by the House by a vote of 95-2, and the Senate voted 46-0. Indiana's bill goes into effect the same exact date that the ban on CBDCs goes into effect in Florida, July 1st of this year. Now, here's a fun fact. I just told you that both of these bills received very little opposition, right? Let's see who actually voted against banning CBDCs. Actions speak louder than words, so this is just a really interesting detail that I thought I would share with you. In Indiana, the House votes were 95-2. The only two representatives who voted against are marked here with a red cross. This is directly from the official website, both of whom belong to the same political party, as you can see. Now, in Florida, I mentioned that the House voted 116-1. So who is that one person? Take a look here. A vote against was made by Felicia Robinson. And again, you can see her political affiliation right next to her name. Now, that could be a coincidence, of course. Take it for what it's worth. But do let me know what your take is in the comments below. A quick reminder to check out our sponsors, ExpressVPN. It is my recommended VPN service. I literally use it every single
Everybody's talking about CBDC, central bank digital currency. Some are saying it's a great idea.
Now, my question is, in that similar vein, what would make a well-designed CBDC system that helps overcome some of these existing issues that we have seen with banks and with just the delivery of stimulus checks?
Some are saying it's a horrible idea.
Are you interested in giving these economic central planners more power over our economy, more power over your daily life and your economic activity? And I answer that question, H-E-double hockey sticks, no.
Who's right? All right, so if you get value from this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Let's get right into it. What is CBDC? The easiest way to explain it is think about Bitcoin, right? It's a decentralized currency that's used, but it's decentralized. No one's regulating it. No one knows who owns it. Now imagine if a Bitcoin currency is created, but it's controlled and regulated by the government. That's CBDC. So how much momentum are they creating with this whole concept of CBDC? Who's for it? Who's against it? According to AtlanticCouncil.org, in May 2020, only 35 countries were considering a CBDC. Today, 114 countries are exploring CBDC, equals to 95% of the global GDP. Currently, 60 countries are in the advanced phases of exploring their own CBDC, while in the last 2 years, 11 countries have already launched their own currency into full operations. We're talking Nigeria, Bahamas, Anguilla, Dominica, Grenada, St. Lucia, Montserrat, St. Vincent, St. Kitts, Nevis, and most recently Jamaica. Now, obviously, these are all small countries. They don't have high GDPs, but G7 economies have now entered the development stage of CBDC, and China's pilot is set to be rolled out to most of the country sometime this year. And on top of that, 18 of the G20 countries are now in the advanced stages of CBDC development, and nearly every G20 country has invested a significant amount of time and resources into these projects over the past 6 months. So obviously we're far along. This isn't something that they're just kind of playing around with. But what do you think? You think it's a good idea or a bad idea? Here's what they're saying the pros and the cons are. Pros: increase payment efficiency, complement current forms of money and financial services, deter criminal activity, improve international payment options, potentially reduce net transaction costs, benefiting lower income households. So now here are the cons. Overhauling the current financial system could create instability, the effectiveness of monetary policy may deteriorate, operational difficulties, cybersecurity risk, and last but not least, privacy, as there's a loss of ability to transact anonymously. So let's talk about that one, anonymously. Do you like to be anonymous with what you're purchasing? What if I ask you right now, you go to your job, and I'm the boss. I'm trying to hire you for a job. And I say, hi, before we consider you as an employee, could you please submit all your credit card and your expenditure on what you've spent the last 90 days or, you know, 6 months? We'd like to see what your buying habits are. What would you say to me? Are you not upset right now or offended right now? You'd say, who the hell are you to ask me a question like that? You know when's the last time somebody asked you where they tracked everything you bought? You were probably 17 years old and you were using mommy or daddy's credit card and they tracked every one of your purchases. Why? Because you were a kid. So let me get this straight, U.S. government. 4 years old, a grown man of four kids, and you get to see everything I buy, invest in. What kind of data does that give you? Do you now automatically, you can go based on seeing what purchases people make and say, I know where this guy leans. I know what this guy's doing. I know what that guy's doing. Let's help this guy with more financing. Let's hurt this guy. Let's hurt that. So you know what I'm saying? So are you okay with people tracking everything you're buying, you're purchasing, decision-making process? And what if all of a sudden you get too loud? And what if right now, like the silencing of somebody is if you are against vaccine? But it may be something else a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. What if you have an opinion? What if there's a cultural war again in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? You're like, no, I'm not against these robots doing this. What if one day they're like, hey, robot can be a better president than the average person. Let's vote for a robot like that. Are you out of your mind? Are you serious? But if all of a sudden you fight against it, hey, bring that access down. Hey, you can't say too much. You know, his digital currency, her digital currency. What if? Now, somebody may say, Pat, that's not going to be happening. Well, okay, no problem. I think an author back in the days wrote a business book called Only the Paranoid Survive, Andy Grove. Let's stay a little bit paranoid, okay? I want you to think about this. Who's for it? Well, the top five banks are for it. They think CBDC is a great idea. Why would Chase, B of A, Wells, Citi, why would these guys want CBDC? Well, because there's not a founder in those banks. Those banks are pretty much working for the U.S. government. No, they're not. Yes, they are. The government dictates the rates. The government gives them money. The government bails them out. They have to work with the government on a daily basis pretty much. So they're pretty much owned by the government. Not necessarily. It's still on the stock market, but they communicate more with the government than they do with you. They don't want no Bitcoin to blow up. They want CBDC. With Bitcoin, they can't control you. It's decentralized. They like control. Are you okay with the way they're thinking? If you are, you should be for CBDC. Elizabeth Warren is for CBDC. AOC is for CBDC. U.S. government is for CBDC. Who's not for CBDC? Free thinkers, entrepreneurs, libertarians, guys who are innovators, disruptors, who want to live their lives and kind of be left alone. They want to make the decisions that they're making, and as long as they don't break the laws, they're kind of going out there about themselves. These guys don't want to be controlled. So this whole CBDC thing comes down to two things. If you like to be controlled, you're for CBDC. If you want to think for yourself and not be controlled, you're not for CBDC. If you like somebody else to make decisions for you, you are for CBDC. If you want to think for yourself and if you make a mistake, great, no problem. You pay the price for it. No problem. You're not for CBDC. This is what it's really coming out to. And by the way, many, many years ago, when everybody was talking about Bitcoin, I said my biggest fear about Bitcoin is Bitcoin scares the most powerful institution in the world, which is the U.S. government. Governments don't like when they cannot control a currency. They can't control Bitcoin. They're going to do whatever they can to trash it, bash it. They'll talk about all the criminal activity that happens in Bitcoin to get people to eventually say, yes, this is not a good idea. It's better if the government controls it. And then you'll go over here, and then all of a sudden, 10 years later, you're like, this was a bad idea, but it's too late by now. Everybody's using their money through this whole CBDC that they're selling to. And by the way, you know how they say things like, well, look, we're becoming a cashless society. How many places are you going to nowadays that they don't even accept cash? Yeah, but we've been using cards for a long time. And it's okay. Well, the fees are high. What if you can save 3%? I'm okay paying 3% fees in the money that I'm transferring. And it's taking a day or two and no one knowing about my decision except me and that credit card company. Then you, the government, knowing exactly what everybody else is doing. Again, freedom, you're not for CBDC. Control, you are for CBDC. But I want to hear your thoughts. If you got value from today's episode, give it a thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. and comment below. And by the way, a part of why they're able to capitalize off this to sell the American people on CBDC being a good thing is because of what happened with Silicon Valley and the banking crisis. I did a private webinar on that a week ago. You've never seen it. It's data intel we've never shared before. Our research team pulled up all this data. I highly recommend you've seen it. Click here to watch the banking crisis webinar. Take care.
Crypto price warning. China, Biden, and the Fed could be about to destroy all value of Bitcoin, okay? So let's see if this is just a propaganda, if there's any credibility to this story with CBDC. Bitcoin price has doubled since November, reaching around $30,000 per Bitcoin. Despite criticism and negative declarations, Texas Senator Ted Cruz has warned that central bank digital currencies inspired by Bitcoin and digital currencies could destroy all value of Bitcoin and undermine its anonymity and decentralization. China is currently leading the way with the digital yuan, which some see as giving governments unprecedented power to surveil and control citizens. Cruz introduced legislation to prevent the creation of a digital dollar, saying the U.S. government has no authority to unilaterally establish a central bank currency. He added that those who want a CBDC dislike cash because it is not subjected to centralized control and constant surveillance, which is a key feature of digital currencies. Despite his concerns about CBDC, Cruz remains incredibly bullish on Bitcoin, calling it clearly the alpha in the current crypto sphere. Are you just as concerned about this as Senator Cruz is?
Every time a politician wants to ban guns, there's an explosion in demand to buy guns, right? And so talk about CBDCs really is a marketing event that causes everyone to think about a world where they don't own their own money. And that makes them think, well, what kind of money could I acquire that I would own? And the most censorship-resistant monetary network in the world is Bitcoin. So interest in CBDCs is just going to drive more feverish interest in Bitcoin. It's actually driving awareness, and Bitcoin is growing as people become more aware that they need something which is non-sovereign, store of value, nation state resistant. So, and if there's hyperinflation, people want Bitcoin. That's why they are thinking about Bitcoin in Argentina or in Nigeria or anywhere in Africa right now. If there's moderate inflation, people that are sensitive to it will go for Bitcoin, and then the people that think the inflation will go away will look at it as an oddity. Money is it's a store of value, a unit of account, a medium of exchange, and then there's a fourth characteristic that we don't talk about. It's the thing that's not said. It's a system of control. So certain monies are easier to control than others. For example, we talk about gold as money, but you ever try to carry a gold bar through an airport?
Very heavy.
Try it next time. They won't let you through, right? In fact, if you tried to carry $100,000 of gold through an airport, not only would you not get through, but the assumption would be you're a criminal, you stole the gold, and they would just take it and keep it without a court order. Now, try to carry $100,000 of cash through the airport. You ever try that? Put it in a bag and just – you can put it in a bag, and as you're walking through the TSA check or the x-ray machine, just nonchalantly say to the officer, yeah, I'm carrying $100,000 of money onto the airplane, right? You won't get through. Now, not only will you not get through, they'll just take your money, right? They'll just take it, and the assumption will be you stole it, okay? So cash is a unit of control. Now, put $100,000 in a bank and try to wire it to someone, or just take it out, and they're going to ask you why. Tell them it's none of their business. try to send it to someone privately. Tell them you just want to send it to a numbered Swiss bank account, right? See how that works. That won't work, right? That's a system of control. A couple of stable coins have been getting shut down. Paxos's BUSD got a Wells notice. They got shut down, and Custodia tried to launch a bank And they wanted to issue AVITs. AVITs were digital dollars. And they were digital dollars that were going to circulate on crypto networks. And the regulators denied that banking license. And it's about a 70-page denial letter, very articulate. And I read it all. I read thousands. I read all of the crypto legislation and all of the crypto litigation. So if you dig into that denial letter, which is very well written and articulate, what is very clear is the regulators say, we're not going to allow the bank to form because we don't want to issue someone, we don't want someone to issue digital dollars that will circulate on crypto networks, non-KYC, evading our money law, our anti-money laundering rules, our anti-terrorism rules, our know your customer rules. So it's clear that the regulators reject with prejudice the idea that you can circulate large sums of dollars without reporting that. Now, that's a political football, right? Because a lot of people in this country think that you should own your own money and you should have financial privacy and you ought to be able to do what you want with your money. There's another group of people that don't agree, right? Ted Cruz is on the side of freedom. You ought to own your own money. Now, it turns out that if your money's in a bank, you're not going to be able to circulate it freely. It's controlled. On the other hand, Bitcoin is the one network you can't control. Ted Cruz's famous line is, I like Bitcoin for the same reason the Chinese don't like it. They can't control it. Mm-hmm. Nobody can control Bitcoin. So if you're insecure about being able to own your own money, do you own it? And can you actually use it without asking somebody's permission? Then the solution is not gold. It's not silver coins, it's not stacks of cash, it's not money in a bank in the U.S., it's certainly not money in a bank in Lebanon, Argentina, anywhere in Africa. Those banks won't let you, they won't let you take your money out of the bank. Go look at Nigeria, $42 a day, that's how much you can take out of the bank. They're keeping your money. So the one network that you have that gives you a decent chance of owning your own money and then being able to spend it the way you want is Bitcoin. So I'm not worried about Bitcoin. I do think that there'll be a massive political fight over CBDCs. There's a technical challenge. Our government doesn't know how to issue a CBDC. We don't know how to issue digital currency. The people that are issuing digital dollars are the cryptocurrency people, right? You know, Paxos knows how to issue a digital dollar, right? And the regulators sent him a Wells notice saying, shut it down. So the private market knows how to issue digital dollars. The government doesn't. The EU doesn't. The feds don't. And so even if they wanted to, they can't technically right now without somebody else's help. But as long as Congress is split, right, it seems to me quite clear there's a large faction, by the way, on the Democratic and the Republican side. I mean, Robert F. Kennedy, I don't think, is in favor of a CBDC, yep. Nor is Ron DeSantis in favor of a CBDC. So there are a lot of free-thinking politicians in both parties that are adamantly against having a system of control where the government can decide how you – you know, it used to be $10,000 was the cutoff of the report, right? It used to be you had to report when you wired $10,000, and that was back when $10,000 was worth something, right? It used to be – I think it dates back, what, 50 years or something? So it used to be $10,000 was a lot of money, and then they kept the $10,000 limit, and inflation creeped up, and pretty soon $10,000 is not nearly so much money. And what we're seeing is an encroachment of that where now people are starting to lobby for the government to get a report on everything spent more than $600, and they lower the number.
But who is supportive of that? I mean, right now, if you look at Federal Reserve, here's a tweet from Ron DeSantis you were talking about. April 7, the Federal Reserve has made no decision on issuing a central bank digital currency and would not do so without clear support from Congress and executive branch, ideally in a form of a specific authorizing law. A CBDC would not replace cash or other payment options. And then DeSantis at the top says, it is not merely ideal that major changes in policy receive specific authorization from Congress. It is constitutionally required. Unaccountable institutions cannot impose a CBDC on Americans. They will tell CBDC won't be abused, but we are wise enough to know better. This wolf comes as a wolf. Mm-hmm. Michael, the question I'm asking is this whole thing with 600, forget about the politicians that want it. We understand why they would want it. You can control and see what people are doing. What average voter wants to vote for this? Who the average American that would say, I'm okay with this?
I'm sure the overwhelming majority of the population is adamantly against it. And I would say a decent majority of politicians are against it, but there is a fringe wing that wants to impose control over everybody, and they don't trust anybody. And you know, heck, at some point they would probably like to see how you spend $50. And that's the control freaks in the political sphere. You know, politicians have shown themselves quite capable of interfering in your private affairs, and the last 3 years have shown anything. They've shown that people can come up with some justification to tell you how many people can sit at your dinner table on Thanksgiving, right? And so there'll be some of them. I don't think that politically it's going to fly in the near term. And in the next 2 to 4 years, I don't see consensus at the political level to impose a CBDC, but I think – so I think it's like that persistent boogeyman where people say, oh, it's coming, and the result is more interest in the antidote to it. So I don't think it's bad for Bitcoin. I think it's good for Bitcoin. I do think we ought to be concerned about money being used as a system of control is very disturbing.
Yeah, I think you bring up an interesting point there. And Rob, I just flipped you something. Can you grab that? Speaking of systems of control, I want you to look at this picture of the two diplomats from India and Russia. And I think you know what I'm talking about. It went down in the last 24 hours. I just sent you the link to it, Rob. Take a look at that. The Russian guy is on the left. The Indian guy is here. Russia has got billions of dollars trapped in India that is in rupees. And India is saying, you can't move them. But if you want to use them to pay for labor to build things, we're happy to do things. What do you need built? And So this is a system of control here. This is two governments together. And India, look at the posture of the guy from India and look at the posture of the guy from Russia. So when we talk about systems of control, this goes all the way up to the way governments control each other. This is India sitting on billions of dollars and won't let Russia take back.
India bullying Russia. What would you have thought that would happen? That just doesn't make any sense. But good for them.
Good for the Indians. I have a question for Michael. Just on the heels of basically what Pat read about the DeSantis. You know, there's a story here. I think it's SB7054. It's a question basically regarding Florida. We're here in Miami. We dealt with the traffic. DeSantis, the CFO of Florida is Jimmy Patronis. He had some very harsh words on CBDCs. He called it government surveillance. He said it could lead to financial slavery and political tyranny. So you said that if they were going to have some agenda to push through CBDCs, they would have to essentially have some sort of public-private partnership, right? The government's not going to do it on their own. Who would lead that charge? And what would they? How would they sell that to the people? Is it Gary Gensler of the SEC in partnership with certain Congress people? Like, walk me through how it would even happen and get approved via Congress.
Well, to be clear, I don't expect it to happen. I don't think that there is consensus in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party to implement a CBDC. I don't think they know how to do it. I think there's resistance to it. I think that what's going on right now is there's a regulatory crackdown on crypto. And so what is happening is the administration is cracking down on crypto exchanges. It's cracking down on crypto securities. It's cracking down on some of the crypto tokens, and is cracking down on cryptocurrencies. And by currency, I mean a stable coin, like a dollar circulating. And I think that that's creating quite a lot of sound and fury and friction and anxiety in the industry. I think it'll continue. There is no coherent digital asset framework that's been offered by any regulator. There isn't any coherent digital assets framework offered by any legislator. We're nowhere near that. Like, there's not a bill we're debating that if it gets voted on, will solve the problem. There is no bill.
Got it.
Okay. And so you know, the talk about CBDCs gets people, you know, quite spun up, rightfully so. But I think the story here is CBDCs are going to be a non-starter in the free world. And even in the place that's closest to it is China, I suppose. And so I really think that it's a Chinese concept, and I don't really think in the free world we want to be like the Chinese. And I think ultimately both sides of the aisle will agree on that.
So if you like this clip and you want to watch another one, click right here. And if you want to watch the entire podcast, click right here.
All right. Well, that's, I hope you enjoyed that bullshit. But yeah, it amazes me so much. It's trying to fucking realize, why do they want to control every aspect of our fucking lives? I mean, everything. They feel like every motherfucker out there is going to cheat them out of a goddamn nickel. And now they want to control everything you do, you know? I mean, I don't know what you think, Gunn, but goddamn, man. It's getting psychotic. I mean, they you know, it used to be, like you said, $10,000. They didn't give a fuck what you did under $10,000. You don't have to report shit. Now, 600. What makes it so concerning and be so occupied with all this? Can you imagine that every motherfucker that deposited $600 fucking dollars, they got to fill out a report and send it to these motherfuckers? And why? What is the goddamn reason for this? What the fuck does it prove? What do you want to know? What the fuck do they actually want to know? Are they marking everybody as a goddamn criminal? I mean, Jesus, Mary and fucking Joseph, man. This is crazy. But that's what it seems like they're trying to do. You, me, everybody else listening to this show, you're a fucking criminal if you have over fucking $600. You know, that's just too far overreaching, the long arm of the law type shit, you know? That's the sad part about this. LBGQA fucking bullshit. Same thing. You know, it's bullshit. So they want to kill the dollar. So if you stop the dollar and you completely control money through digital currency, that means you have no more privacy. Don't know what you buy. Just like, you know, the story I wrote a few months back, you know, about Johnny cutting my grass, you know. Any money that's transferred from one person to another is considered income. So there's automatic income tax. So you don't have to worry about filling out your taxes no more. That doesn't have to happen. The process is already involved with every movement of money you make. Money you got coming in your tax farm, money you got going out tax farm. So your tax coming and going, tax coming and going, constantly back and forth, back and forth. You know, like I said, with Johnny cut my grass for $5. And then, okay, I'll read the story to you. It's in my head. I wrote it, but I did write it on paper, believe it or not. But Johnny, you know, came by and said, hey, Ron, cut your grass for $5. So he did, $5. He pulled out his fucking phone. He swiped my card, got his $5. Off he went. And he walked down the street in the middle of July, hot as a motherfucker outside. He sees a convenience store. It has a flashing neon sign. It says cold soda. So he goes inside and he gets him a soda. It says $1.25 in the cooler. So he grabs it, sits on the counter, and hands the guy his card. And the guy swipes it and says, you have insufficient funds. And Johnny goes, what do you mean? I just made $5. And the clerk goes, well, you don't understand, Johnny. Here's how it works. When Ron gave you the money, transferred off his card to your account, automatically government deducted income tax, the FDIC, Social Security, fees, and whatever else. And Johnny goes, well, okay, well, how much do I have left? And the guy goes, yeah, $1.25. Johnny goes, well, so does $1.25. And the clerk goes, to him, so Johnny, but you don't get enough money to pay the fucking taxes on it. See what I mean? That's what will happen if this becomes to be a correction of what the fuck they're saying. If that's the case, that's how it's going to be. You're going to be poor, and you're going to like it. That's what your ditch is going on, right? Well, that's what it'll be. That's exactly how it'll be, how it'll happen to you. And a lot of people, oh, no, they ain't. Well, okay, well, they have their way with this. And you remember something? This shit didn't come down until Biden. Biden is the one that has thrown shit into this. But it's been going on. The Chinese are doing it. They want to control their people as far as they can. But, of course, they're a communist country. They control them any fucking way. It don't matter. Even they have racial recognition systems. Them here at Walmart. Walmart has them. You know, facial recognition. Guarantee it. If you've been kicked out of Walmart anywhere in the fucking United States, and you're in any Walmart in the United States, that facial recognition system is going to identify your shit. They're going to know you. They're going to tell you everything about you, and that's that. That's how it works. I mean, like in London, England, okay? I went there a couple times, you know, in the past 10 years. And, you know, they have cameras every fucking where. I mean, everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. They have facial recognition systems, all that. In London, England, of all places. You want to talk about communists. You know, in London, it used to be a cool place. It used to be. England used to be fun. Not no more. I mean, they're up your skirt anywhere you turn, everywhere. So that's what they want to do here. They tried it once. Remember, they did, you know, they started with the fucking the stoplight cameras and shit. Well, so many people bitched about it, said it was unconstitutional, which it is. They had to stop it. But now they come out with a new system called block cameras. They look for, they're supposed to be a license plate reader that reads your plate and see if you have any fucking warrants for your arrest. Ain't that nice? So, yeah. Any way to make money. You know, and, you know, most of the shit they do is technically illegal. But, you know, nobody says nothing about it because we don't know. We weren't taught this shit. We don't know right from wrong anymore in this country. We just don't know. You're not taught that. You're taught more wrong because they want you to do wrong so they make more money. It's all about money. And 99% of the time, it's consent. You consent to be fucked. You tell them, okay, fuck me. It's okay with me. You just go ahead and stick a dick right in me and not even know what you're doing. Not even know. So, you know, it's a fucked up system, man. So, you know, you have to live with it. It's pretty fucked up. But anyway, all right, well, folks, I'm going to jump out of here because I have to get up early in the morning and got shit to do in the morning. So I'm going to throw a song up for you. There you are, Gunn. You came to life. There you are.
Well, I'm here. I was just waiting for you to finish your diatribe there.
Oh, I thought you were gone. I thought you took off in a close show.
Oh, we got I'm here. I was just sitting listening. But, you know, like I said, and you know, these people are fucking control freaks. It's not a bad system for them. It's an excellent system. They got it down pat. It's the best system in the world for them. Mm-hmm. For them, not us. For them, because they make all the fucking money. They fuck all the people. Okay, fuck you here. Fuck you there. Fuck you everywhere. Why not? Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
But my thing is just this. You know, why in the fuck would you know? Such minor little shit, man. Everything you do is all going to be controlled by this goddamn card. You know, you won't have no more privacy anymore. You know, like I told you, you know, fucking, they're going to control you on what you can spend or what you can buy. There's no more free will, man, you know. Like me, I'm a bulk buyer. I buy in bulk. I buy shit in bulk, right? Okay, like the grocery store up in Hollister, Missouri, had a sale on chicken wings for $1.19 a pound. Well, I bought fucking one day, I bought 60 pounds, next day I bought 100 pounds, and today I bought 20-something pounds. That's all I had left, okay? But that will be controlled. You're only going to be allowed to buy so many by the control of that card, you know? They can beep them all across, all the product across, but then they'll say, well, we're only paying for this X amount of fucking weight. See what I mean? That's control of your money. You don't have that freedom no more. That freedom's gone. Which we're supposed to be free. Remember that one? Free, free.
Free,
ain't the way it's going to work. Right.
Okay,
and of course,
George,
you know, people.
Work is free.
Right.
George.
Right. But people also call me a conspiracy theorist, too, and a lot of this shit. But about 14 years I've been preaching about this shit coming. 14 years I've been preaching. This is going to happen. And here it is. It finally came to that point. And, you know, but I'm still a fucking tin foil hat wearer. You know, but it's kind of funny. It's coming true, though. This shit's been in place for a long time. I seen this shit a long time ago for the simple fact of debit cards. When the debit card thing started rocking and rolling, and they eliminated the fucking checks. I still know a few people do still write checks. I don't know why, but, you know, because it's all digital anyway. You know, nowadays, you can take a picture of a fucking check and send it to your bank and it's deposited. You know what I mean? So what's the sense of the paper check? You know what I mean? What sense does that make? But that's the world they want us to live in, their world. Let's control everything. Let's control all. Let's control every fucking... When you take a shit, you're only going to be allowed so many squares of toilet paper. Get ready for that one. You know what I mean? So, you know. But and the other thing... Another little thing they do that people don't know about, some do, some don't, but is your insurance company, your medical insurance. You got to get approval from the insurance companies to cover some drugs. Well, that's a lot of drugs, you know what I'm saying? If it ain't on their list, you got to ask an okay. Would you cover that for me? You know, that's fucking pretty crazy, isn't it?
Well,
my pops needs a blood thinner, but the insurance company wouldn't cover it. The man's just had a fucking heart attack. He needs a certain type of blood thinner for this condition he's in.
Well,
insurance company becomes doctors.
Well, yeah, you just said it. I had to get some cream for an itch that I had, and I called the Teladoc. Okay.
Right.
And they prescribed this one, and they wouldn't cover it. It was only like $19 for the tube of this cream, but they'll cover a allergy inhaler that costs almost $75. Uh-huh. They'll cover that. Uh-huh. But a tube of cream, $19.95, they won't cover. How stupid. How stupid can you get?
Well, it's the same thing you said with my granddaughter. Both my granddaughters acquired these allergies. Springtime, you know. Shit hit some people. Both of them got sick and, you know, sneezing, blow nose. Well, my, you know, daughter-in-law took them to urgent care, Cox. They got a prescription for this drug. Anyway, one of my granddaughters was covered, but the other one wasn't. Why? What's the fucking difference here? You know what I mean? And it was like $13 for this shit. 13 fucking bucks. Yeah.
You know, like, small amount.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
Right. But they finally got it together. Oh, yeah, we'll approve it. You know, I asked my insurance agent one time, I said, how many times do you fuck yourself a day? Well, Ron, you know, I said, no. I had to call you on shit. Well, I need to find out this drug is covered. You know, and you fuck around. Because the big corporate cocksucker you work for control you because you're their bitch. This guy hates me. He fucking hates me. I don't fucking give me no slack. I just don't care. I just don't like it, you know. But what am I going to do? Then I become a fucking enemy to these people. You know what I mean? Because I bitch about it. Oh, you're a fucking enemy. You're no good motherfucker, you know. Now, you know, you ain't going along with the fucking rest of the group. Well, right's right and wrong's wrong. That's all there's fucking to do. That's the reality of fucking life. Is you're right or you're wrong. There's no way in between of that. You know? But they don't see it that way. Oh, no. No. Right's right, wrong's wrong in our way. You know what I'm saying? I like to shoot it in the middle, you know. It's kind of like you're mixing right and wrong together. Ain't that some crazy shit?
Well, it's crazy.
It
they're
is
just
nuts,
out to fuck. They're just out to fuck you. I mean, just, they.
Right.
It's amazing how this fuck job started. But it started, you know, with the Federal Reserve, like you said, and all that shit.
Right.
And you know, they own the money. You don't own that money. They do. Okay.
Right. Right.
And when they own the money, they have the control over it. It's not the way it's supposed to be, but that's how they evolved, I guess, if you want to call it.
Well, look, it started out good. It's illegal as fuck.
Well, yeah, it is, but I'm sure day one it was pretty good. They thought it was a pretty good idea, day one. But as time went on,
there was only one congressman that signed the bill in 1913. All the rest of the motherfuckers gone on Christmas vacation. It was a scam.
Well, yeah, but
and why do they still allow it to go on? Yeah. Why is it still going on? Why is it still happening? It amazes me. If it was wrong, why do you let it continue on for all these fucking years? You're talking 1913, Jan. You know how long back that is? Fuck. You know? I mean, we even know the story. We know the history of what happened. You know, these bankers went to Jekyll Island, they came to this bill, and they went there in disguise, so nobody seen them go there and shit. Then they come back, and there's one fucking congressman or senator or whatever there in the building, and he signed it. That was it. That's all it took, man. Bam, it's a law. You know, can't we get rid of laws, too? I think we could do that. You know, I think we really can. And now if we default this, you know, we got this fucking shit coming up, this debt ceiling coming up by the 1st of June, okay? And if the money ain't there, the money ain't there, so they're going to default. Who are they going to default against? The Federal Reserve Bank? Who cares? Who gives a fuck? They print money out of thin fucking air. So what does it matter?
That's just what I was fixing to say. They print money out of thin air. You just said it. So they don't care. Federal Reserve is not going to fail unless they want it to fail. Okay? Because they print the money. They,
right.
How can you fail when you print it? You can't.
I think the reason the government has let it go on for so long Because when shit hits the fan, they can blame the fucking Federal Reserve, not the government itself. The Federal Reserve did it. Blame them.
They're going to blame somebody. There's no doubt about that. And I'm sure they have a scapegoat who they know who to fucking blame. They're not going to take the blame themselves. Are you kidding me? This is what fucking how evil government is. You know, they'll blame everybody but themselves. Just like a narcissist. Okay?
Yeah, well, just like Hillary Clinton said.
Our Fox News Online. He blames everybody but himself.
Right.
See?
Right. Right. Yeah, well, you know. I mean, he personally hates himself. I mean, he's a self-inflicting person, you know. He has no friends, nobody. He's lonely. He's a lonely person, you know, and he does it to himself. He's self-destructive to himself. Self-destructive. Is that how you say it? Self-destructive? You know?
Yeah, self-destructive.
I mean, why would you hate yourself that much, you know, and then you do a podcast to tell everybody how much you hate your fucking self? That's crazy, you know? But
it only pushes mental health issues. I'm sorry, that's normal.
You know,
that is not normal.
People trying
to
be nice to you, trying to be your friend, you turn around and fucking shit on them. Well, what the fuck, you know, who the fuck, you know?
And
the rumor gets around everybody saying, I know you're a piece of shit. Nobody's going to want to fuck with you, you know? And
yeah,
they do fuck you with the fucking stupidest fuck, too. So you belong together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not normal. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's not.
Psychology. I should have been a fucking psychologist, right? It's not fucking normal behavior.
Yeah. No, I second that, doctor. I second that. So.
Yeah. I got a second opinion.
Man, I went to the dentist today, gun, and they beat my ass. That's why I'm so fucking tired right now. I mean, they beat my ass. I just went in for a cleaning, all right? But it was a deep cleaning, okay? She said deep cleaning. Well, fuck, I'm not a motel room, lady. Anyway, man, fuck, hit me with a bunch of Novocaine, dead in my face, tried to take a drink of tea when I got out of there, and fucking got all over me, like, oh, my God. It was sad. This one went and bought more chicken wings because the store was right next to the dentist office. Yeah, so I got enough chicken wings to last me at least through the fucking summer and half next winter. I swear to God, I got fucking three freezers full of chicken wings. But we're going to put them in the food trailer, too. We're going to sell them in the food trailer. You know, we'll pre-cook them, you know, here at the kitchen at the house. And then we'll put them in the cooler in the unit. You know, we'll throw them back in the deep fryer again and refry them.
Did you see that little clip I put in a core while ago?
I did.
About the plumber, the tightening that, or I guess tight or loosening that plumbing fitting. Did you see that?
No. Hang on, let me go back.
Go take a look at that motherfucker. You talk about something that'd be a shocking experience. Jesus fucking Christ.
Okay. Absurd same electrical wall of shame, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that's it. No, it's not the sign. It's a, let's go all shame. Yeah.
Okay. What am I looking for?
Just look at the video, the little short video.
I don't see no video.
You no video there?
I see an outlet and a switch box with an outlet, a switch missing, with two cords plugged into it.
What's up? Maybe it's above it. Maybe I did put it in there, motherfucker. Well, I'll be goddamn, I thought I did.
Well, there's a car driving thing, real by Kevin Harris, Facebook. Sick bastard, shame. Check out the sculpture. They place generally in New Orleans. The snake and the ball, or whatever. Our body of a woman with snake right around.
Well, hell, maybe I didn't. Fuck me. I'll have to refine it.
Okay.
But anyway, wait a minute. Well, no, that ain't it either. Fuck. What do you mean? It was a fucking plumber taking his water pipe part from this fucking water meter, right? And it looks like it's rigid or something. And as you take this bitch off, you can see sparks going bzz, bzz, through that ground, through the ground, through the water pipe. That's it. Fuck. Plumber's got dangerous jobs, too.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there it is. No, there it is. I got it. Just click on that same one.
Okay. Hang on a second.
Where it says electrical wall was saying they send electricity through the... This, where it says this could be quite shocking. Yeah, I'm watching it right now.
Okay. This could be quite... Okay. It just takes me to join the group shit.
Well, shit. Let me put it back in there. Let me repost it here. Copy. Copy, copy, copy. Paste. That's the very last one. Yeah, there it is. See, where it says Real by Manuel Del Tita or whatever it is.
Okay, yeah.
Must be in Mexico. Must be in Mexico.
Yeah, a little short reel. Okay.
Yeah, a little short reel, yeah.
Holy fucking Jesus.
What I said.
What the fuck? How the fuck is that powered? They must have a groundwire going to that water line. You know,
a floating ground in there somewhere.
It's
going through that water line. Yeah.
Well, you know, I used to do that shit. You'll put a wire clamp on a pipe, you know, water pipe or some old galvanized water pipes.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah.
So, you know. That's fucking crazy.
I bet you there's some fucking plumbers been fucking killed by that.
Oh, I bet. Oh, yeah.
You know, like sawing through the water line
what
or something.
What the fuck?
Got that cramp on there. You know.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. That's pretty fucked up, man. Good thing it wasn't natural gas. That'd be a fucking hell of a fire.
Oh,
that would explode.
Yeah, that would be a fire.
Yeah.
Floated right then and there.
In a heartbeat. When I was a kid, bedtime was at 9 p.m. I couldn't wait to be a grown-up so I could go to bed anytime I wanted. Turns out that is 9 p.m. I tell you.
Man, that's fucking crazy. That ain't no static build up either. That's a goddamn. That's a flow in there.
Oh, Jesus. Here's a fun one. Check this the fuck out, man. This'll blow your fucking mind. Check this shit out. It says it's core. You want to talk about fucking retarded? Landlord accused of setting building on fire as he played Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
Who didn't start the fire?
What a landlord.
We didn't start the fire.
What a fucking landlord. Oh, in Minnesota. A landlord in Minnesota accused of setting his own apartment building on fire last week Travis Lee Carlson, 37, charged first-degree arson. Why would you burn up your own fucking moneymaker, you know? According to court documents, the first member called the department in Duluth for the fire he had started in the upper floors. When they arrived, first responders said they found a building on fire along with Billy Joe Song. We didn't start the fire. Blame from upstairs apartment. Shit. Fire investigators found a drilled hole in a gas tank of Carlson's truck with a drill laying nearby. There were also loads of gas cans laying on the ground by the truck. Investigators found an electrical panel in the basement of the apartment has several wires pulled out. In addition, there were numerous areas of upstairs apartments had green liquid lines from a buried accelerant staining several pieces of furniture, floors, and walls. So, yeah, fucker, strikes like insurance. One tenant reported waking up to Carlson and his landlord smashing glass and breaking things just before he started the fire. Then the tenant said Carlson knocked on his apartment door and told him the house is on fire. A neighbor also called 911 to report that he saw Carlson wearing a helmet and smashing his own windows. The neighbor also said flashing like fireballs coming from the upstairs apartment. Authorities said Carlson was found the next day with flesh burn injuries and onto his legs and arms. He was taken into custody. According to jail records, Carlson being held in St. Louis County Jail on a $75,000 bond. Carlson is facing up to 20 years in prison. Copyright 2023, KBJR, Bea Gray Media Group, Incorporated, all rights reserved. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah, they'll do that. I mean, we used to work for a contractor. We did all their electrical work and everything, and the guy, even we did it on his own house. Right just up there and where I used to live at, close to up there. And it was... And it built a remodeled new kitchen, second story. I mean, the real fancy, real fancy shit, right?
Right.
And found out later he burnt that motherfucker down for the insurance. I guess he went to prison for it. He burnt that motherfucker to the ground for the insurance money.
You know, I just saw the poster I see on this shit here. It says, anyone riding a motorcycle, it's going to be on BB in Hollister. The city moors are out there and there's grass all over the roads, ride safe. Well, you know what I say about that shit? Well, you know what? Guess what? I cut my grass out here on the highway. I blow grass over my park, but it's against the law to do that. Do you know that? In the state of Missouri. You can't blow grass on the road. And I think it's that way in a lot of states, you know? Because it is dangerous. A motorcycle hits that grass, it can slide, you know? So, you know. But there again, you know, who cares? Fuck them.
Fuck them. I did it for fucking decades. Nobody, you know, fuck them. I blew fucking grass all over the goddamn.
Here somebody says something. He got 41 replies against him. This guy named Zach Devine said, grass shouldn't be an excuse for any motorcyclist. Seriously, a motorcyclist. You know, 41 replies. Jesus Christ. They didn't like what he fucking said. Apparently. Okay. Let's see what they said. Let's see what the replies say. Okay. Zach, I'm thinking that it's unsafe and send me your experienced rider, and if that's the case, and you know that for inexperienced riders and people that are learning, then it doesn't take much more than a simple mistake, which we are all humanly capable of making, to lay that bike on the ground and seriously hurt yourself or someone else. But you are an experienced enough rider, then you know looking out for others is always our best interest. Cherry Usry, I don't agree with teaching riders grass is dangerous. I teach new skills to save lives, but Missouri has a zero interest in motorcycle safety. That's not true, bitch. It's a law of the state. I've taken 20-plus courses in the county, some very basic and many of them pretty advanced. I sought after more training. Others don't say so. I don't feel bad over rider errors related crashes, which don't make up the majority of motorcycle crashes. Well, I tell you what, I see a lot of bikes around here. Fuckers get over into your fucking lane. They always want it right on inside of the fucking lane of the traffic. You know what I mean? On the side of the road you're driving on. They always want to be close to that center stripe for some fucking reason. I don't know why. You know, they do. Okay, it's a combination thing that makes it dangerous. The curves seem bank off a bit. Grass that makes it slippery. If you aren't careful, lots of traffic at quiet time making the most impossible swerve out of good grass. Just depends. Slow the fuck down, you see it.
Yeah, slow it down. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, people fucking bitch and cry every goddamn thing. Don't matter. Oh shit. Picture of a baby deer. This is pretty hot. I think I'll take a nap right here. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I'll show it to you. Do it before. Throw it in the horror group.
Horror group. Bing, bing.
That's the world I live in. Nothing but animals. And boy, the rabbits have been out like a motherfucker here lately. Police raid a state-licensed Trinity County marijuana farm took a turn for the worse, leaving a dog dead off shooting kills. Tethered dog at weed farm raid gone wrong. Okay. Not the dog, man. Not the livestock. What the hell is this? You're not going to see no money and you're hungry. Which one of these would it be? Spam, Vienna sausages, corned beef hash, or armored potted meat? And you know that canned corned beef hash? Where was we at? Me and my wife was somewhere. Where the fuck was that? I'm trying to think. I think it was Harder House grocery store. And a can of corned beef hash is like $6, man. I'm like, holy fuck, can of fucking corned beef hash. Fuck me. You're out of your goddamn mind. Here's another for your gun. Try to climb this motherfucker. And you posted shit about Come and Go, that convenience store.
Oh yeah, did you see that?
Yeah, they're all over the place down here. Come and Go.
They are.
Yeah, I used to make fun of it too all the time. Come and Go. Yeah. Yeah.
Never seen them. They're not down here in Texas. I've never seen one.
They're all over part of Missouri and Arkansas. Yeah, Come and Go. So, yep. Yep.
Huh.
You change that K to a C. And a G to an H, come and ho. Come and ho, yep. That's what I used to call it, come and ho.
You know, come and ho. Oh, boy.
That's it. Absolutely. Well, we're down to the last 11 minutes, so I guess I'm a Candace fucker, man. Because I got to go pass the fuck out. Way past my nap time. Y'all keep me up all late hours of night. God damn it.
Wee hours of the night.
Yeah. Anyway, make sure you go to Firefox Nuisance Online and see their show.
Yeah, the Nuisance.
Into Nuisance, you know, Firefox Nuisance. Yeah. Disqualified
if you,
out of line. Firefox Nuisance out of line.
If you get inclined to get fucked and everything and, you know, by a narcissist, why not?
Shit, man. Believe everything he says. You're free.
Believe everything I say.
You're free. Yeah, you're free, brother. You're free. Yep.
Free.
All right.
And they got backups.
Yeah, I forgot about the backup plan. Fuck me. Yes, backup. anyway, all right. Well, God bless him. God damn it. Fuck, he tries. All right, I'm going to flip up this song, and I'm bolting out of this fucking studio, so I'll see you guys probably tonight. So behave yourself and I'll see you all later. Be good.
All right, wait.
fire from the trees, over the sea, and on the green, to anywhere I please. Oh, I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to get away. I want to fly. I'm keeping mine, where they could just be hard. Let's fade into the sun, let the spirit fly, to be our one, just for a little fun. Oh, oh, oh yeah! I want to get away, I want to fly away, yeah.
I'll fly away, yeah.